Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is Professor Greg Stevens. I didn't introduce him to you yesterday, but everybody knows him now. But his working knowledge of the Hebrew language, and he teaches a First Covenant survey in Kenneth Copeland Bible College.
And Old Testament truths.
And And so, because Jesus is in, he's from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. I mean, he's there. And you can say it this way. This book is all about him.
Yes.
And he's all about us. And we're all about him. Amen.
Right. And the book then is about me and what's available to me.
That's right.
In him.
And I can have what it says I have. Yes, while we put the word first place and final authority. So now let's go to the book of Acts, which was, as most of you know, and for those of you who don't realize this, the gospel that is under the name of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Luke was a Gentile physician. He's a doctor. He wrote the book of Acts also because he was Paul's constant companion.
That's right.
They worked together, they traveled together, and there's so much he got firsthand. And anyway,
it's a history. If you look at the book of Acts and think of it as a trial brief, it's Paul's defense.
Yes.
For the trial.
Yes.
About everything that happened. And here's what I said, here's what they said, and here's what happened here, and here's what happened here. And Paul will use this book with Luke's help in his trial when he stands.
Well, he says so right there in the first chapter of the book of Acts. He establishes it. The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. So it's a documentary.
Right. Yeah.
Very accurate documentary because he was there and had association with all of them. So now, let's look over here in the 8th chapter. And Brother Hagin made the comment, it says the Acts of the Apostles. No, it was the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles.
That's right.
The sent ones. In the 8th chapter, Saul was consenting unto his death, and at the time there was a great persecution against the church and so forth. And that devout men carried Stephen to his burial. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them into prison. Therefore, they that are scattered abroad were everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. What did he preach? He preached
Jesus.
He preached Jesus and the anointing unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits and so forth came out. There was a certain man named... And you go on and find... Now, then, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, and they were come... They might what? Come. That they might receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because Jesus commanded it.
Yes.
This is... We have to do this now. Go down there now. The Samaritans, hey, they're in it too. That's it. And then, give me also this power, on whomsoever I lay hands may receive the Holy Ghost. So, and we see and know all that. They had testified and preached the word of the Lord and so forth. And you come over here to the 9th chapter, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and inside all of that. And he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why persecutest thou me? Jesus took that personally.
Yes, he did.
He's persecuting the Christians, but they're his body.
Yes. Genesis 1, light B. Paul runs into light B.
Yes, he did. And the light knocked him to his... And he couldn't see.
And Jesus is saying this. Now, over in chapter 7, when they stoned Stephen, and Paul is part of this, or Saul at the time, Stephen lifts up his eyes and he says, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Not seated.
Yeah, he was standing.
And the next time you see Jesus standing, it happens again in Revelation chapter 3. He's standing as the churches are being persecuted. You pick on his church. You pick on his bride.
You get him to his feet.
He will stand to his feet.
And he stood up. It tantamount to a standing ovation. This martyr of the church. And he stood up to receive him. And he said, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do? Arise and go into the city, and you shall be told what to do. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him says, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, inquire the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Now, in the 15th verse, the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the kings and before Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
That took faith for that man.
Now, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way thou came sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, which had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, rose, and was baptized. And when he received meat, he was strengthened. Now, it started there. Now, Romans.
Yes.
Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. He's no longer called Saul. No. He had a covenant name change and he became Paul the Apostle.
That's right.
So, here you have the Holy Spirit in the 8th chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And it's the Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. Oh, my, my, my. And it's just so much. In the 12th chapter, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. Here's manifestation of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in power. It's on every page. And 2 Corinthians, whew, glory to God, hallelujah. Look at that 14th chapter. of 1 Corinthians. Follow after charity and love, my spiritual gifts. And you come on to, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies him. Here we go.
There it is.
Here we are.
He ran into that power, and he preached that power everywhere he went.
Yes, he did.
And if you want to have, if you look at Acts chapter 2, you look at Acts chapter 4, you look at Acts chapter 10, you follow the pattern. The Holy Spirit speaks not of himself, but only of Jesus. If you want to have a Holy Ghost service, preach Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will be there.
That's right.
Because he's inspiring that. You get to looking over here. You were at Romans. Where was that? Romans 8. Mm-hmm. There's therefore now no condemnation. He had to know that after all he had done.
That there's so much of this, if you read it between the lines, he had a really hard time getting away from who he used to be.
Well, he's from, people in congregations are probably sitting there that he had persecuted.
Oh.
And their family. But listen to this. We're talking about the spirit of power. And I don't know if it's wrong to do this or not, I just substituted it. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the power.
After the power.
Spirit of power. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do. See, the law of the power of life in Christ Jesus, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in me.
Yes.
All I did was substitute spirit with power. Verse 4 of Romans 8, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but we walk after the power. Because that spirit is the power that we walk in.
Yes, it is.
It's what we live in. It's what we breathe in. Paul got that revelation of it.
In the full armor of God.
Yes, sir.
Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's also the gospel of power, so you're supposed to be walking in the power of God.
But you can't do it if you deny the most vital part of who you are. Now, you're born again. Every person that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're born again. But you've never flipped the switch to that power. That your iPad has all the resident power available to it. It's just not been charged.
Yeah.
And you had to put it on a charger.
I had to leave it at the house.
Right. But we have to do that.
So go stay at a house till you get baptized in the Holy Ghost.
That's what we're saying. That's what your iPad just learned. But it's why Jesus pulled away at times to recharge that power in his own life.
Oh, Jesus.
To follow after that rather than after the carnal
voice. Greg, here is a good example in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
Oh, boy. Yes.
Now, when you find something like this, read the whole 11th chapter.
Right.
This was a letter. Mm-hmm. And the numbers and verses were put in there for the sake of reference, and that's a good thing. But now look at this. Verse 23,
yeah.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. He wrote. Now, people have misunderstood this and said he stayed in Arabia 3 years. It didn't say that. He said, I went to Arabia, then afterward, I went to Jerusalem 3 years. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows how long he was in out there in that desert, fasting and praying, seeking God. But now here, listen to this. For I have, this is the 11th, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me, or for remembrance of me. Mm-hmm. When did he receive that of the Lord? Now, he also said that during that time, whether in the body of out or out, I could not tell. Mm-hmm. And received utterances unlawful to speak. Well, obviously, it was not time to reveal that. I'm completely convinced that this is when this happened.
Absolutely.
Because he get caught up and the Lord Jesus, he said, I will show him all he must suffer for my name's sake. And I believe that's when he found out about it.
Absolutely. If he wasn't there 3 years in Arabia, which I'm fine with that, based on the pattern, if I were to guess, I haven't studied it out. I'm going to go study it out now. I bet he's there 40 days.
Could have been.
Like Moses was on the mountain.
Because like
that's
Jesus
where he went.
Was in the desert.
That's where he went, and that's part of this revelation. And he would have understood manna, how the children of Israel were fed manna, which goes back to Jesus in John chapter 6, when the power was available, happening, the miracles happening in the disciples' hands, and
he
they didn't realize it.
He also said, I have faced beasts.
Yeah. Right.
I had never connected that together. That could have very well been when that happened, because he's out in the middle of a wilderness someplace.
He's in Midian. He's in Arabia. He's in where Sinai was, where the burning bush was. He's having his own training on Paul. You studied this. You are a Pharisee of the Pharisees.
That's right.
Let me show you.
That's right.
Like he saw. He saw heavenly tabernacle. Like Moses did. Moses made a copy for the earth and all of that. I think if anything, and I like to say it this way, and I've said it to KCBC students, Paul is our Moses.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
That he is explaining to this Gentile who had no covenant, who were strangers and aliens to the promise, exactly what the promise is for us. And so this is why he talks about the communion. You guys don't understand Passover. You didn't do this. But here's what it is. And I perceived that the Lord that night, he fulfilled this. This is fulfillment of what I studied my entire life. And so Paul, to his credit now, Saul was only trying to do what they should do, not allow the nation to follow after false idols. And he believes these Christians are false idols. And so he's doing everything for them not to go back into bondage. Because what happened, Brother Copeland? Every time they would follow after a false god, what would happen?
Yeah, they'd go right back.
They'd go into bondage to some foreign land, and he was determined that that was not going to happen again. And so...
Well, he said, I did it ignorantly.
Sure.
And so he said, God gave me mercy.
Mm. So there's a difference in all of these things that we've read. And, for example, I just mentioned, it's over in John chapter 6, where the feast of the Jews was nigh,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus sees the multitude, and they come to him, and he asks a question about taking care of these people and feeding these people, knowing what the answer was going to be.
Sixth chapter of John.
Sixth chapter of
John.
That's
where it is.
I've heard you teach on this, and he puts them in ranks of how they were supposed to sit. I like this. After these things, Jesus went out of the Sea of Galilee, verse 1, which is the Sea of Tiberias. That gives us a location on the map where they were. And a great multitude followed them because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, or the Feast of the Jews, was nigh. It was near. When Jesus, so I'm guessing this one is the year before that final Passover. It's the one before, or it's close.
Mm-hmm.
The Passover, the Feast of Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him. He said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them
may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad over here, which has 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. What's that amongst so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. It's another indicator where it was. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And you've taught so excellently on this, that the miracle didn't happen with Jesus. The power happened
in the hands of when he handed it to them. And he gave them credit for feeding them. He didn't take the credit for it.
Mm-hmm. But the people want to give him credit for it. They're ready right then to make him the Messiah. Why? Because God had fed them in the wilderness. They know this story. They're in the wilderness. He's fulfilling all of that.
And he'd been preaching to them. Faith was on a high level by this time.
Mm-hmm.
And something like 40,000 people out there. And so he said, there's a lot of grass here. Just sit down and divide them up. And you give them to eat. And they said, what? You feed them. So he gave them. Now remember what he said. He said, the Spirit, this is the last Passover meal right before the cross. The Spirit has been with you, but he shall be in you. Well, the Spirit was with him because the Spirit of God, according to the 4th chapter of the book of Luke, he went out 6 weeks into the desert, stood the test, came back, but he had just been baptized by John in the Jordan. Mm-hmm. And John saw the Holy Spirit land on him like a dove. He saw the Spirit of God, and in my mind, the way I see it, he saw the Spirit of God come like this, not on his shoulder, but saw the Spirit of God come like this.
Developing.
And he saw that in the Spirit. Mm. Then he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach. Yes. Same Spirit that created the universe.
Right.
Then at the tomb of Lazarus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He groaned in the Spirit.
Right.
And said, I know you always hear me.
But for their sake.
Yeah, for their sake.
Praise God. I wondered why these guys didn't understand. Why they didn't understand what was happening. Matter of fact, they'll be in the boat and he'll talk about this. You know, the whole food thing. They didn't have the Spirit.
No, they didn't. Not until after the day of Pentecost.
They're natural men at that point. They don't have that ability to tap into. See, Jesus knew what he was going to do by the Spirit of God. They don't have that.
We're out of time already.
Goes quick.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, we'll be back here just a moment.
People can go through life feeling powerless and unable to withstand the storms that come their way. But God has given every born-again believer authority over the enemy and the power to overcome. In fact, Jesus made it clear that having the Holy Spirit is crucial for those who follow him. Discover how God wants to fill you with his power with The Holy Spirit, an audio teaching by Kenneth Copeland. Everything you have need of, God can meet. The Bible says greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The very power of God is the Holy Spirit. Learn how to receive revelation, knowledge, and find victory with the help of the Holy Spirit. He is your intercessor, comforter, and guide who promises to lead you into all truth. Realize the power of God that's inside of you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and step into the destiny God has for you. The Holy Spirit in you is your intercessor, standby, comforter, teacher, and friend. Learn how to be led by the power of the Spirit within you. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's MP3 series, The Holy Spirit, on kcm.org/victory offer, or when you call 877-615-4267. Offers good for 60 days. If you are outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Something life-giving on kcm.org, your study center for victory. View the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts on demand and study along with the daily broadcast notes, or download the audio podcasts to listen on the go. Watch prior KCM events for hours with truth going in your eyes and ears wherever you are. Get real help for real life problems. Follow our guide to believe, speak, pray, learn, and apply your way to results from your couch, desk, or kitchen table. Stay focused on truth by reading the devotional From Faith to Faith every day. Read interactive BVOV magazines and click to unlock more content in each issue. Get a faith boost from testimonies of real-life success from people just like you. Find information on what partnership means and take advantage of the resources provided just for you. Read archives of Kenneth Copeland's partner letter and download free books from our bonus library. Over 50 titles available to read on your phone, computer, or e-reader. KCM.org meets you where you are.
Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Build your faith through powerful articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories and testimonies of real-life victory and equip your kids for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today on our KCM website.
Join Kenneth Copeland at these upcoming KCM events. August 1 through 6, bring your whole family to the Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. October 27 through 29, come to the Omaha Victory Campaign in Nebraska. And November 10 through 12, join Kenneth Copeland at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign in Woodbridge, Virginia. KCM events are free to attend. Go to kcm.org/events for more information, and we'll see you there.
Again, thank you, everyone, for being with us here today. And this is so good, I didn't want to quit, but we'll take it up again tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland and the entire class and Greg Stephen reminding you that God loves you and we love you and Jesus is Lord. Praise God. See you tomorrow.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel. If you would like a free copy of the broadcast to put into your faith library, you can download it on kcm.org/victory offer or request it on DVD or CD. Keep your heart full of the Word of God and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.